with a Cuban cigar. In the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulder. She probably studied abroad. She transferred to Harvard from King's College.
You know, Doc, if we could tell the stories off the air that we tell on the air, or if we could tell the stories that we talk about off the air on the air, it'd be a...
He's spicy.
We could probably charge a lot of money to listen to this show. We're live at the Slaughterhouse. Great to have everyone with us, as always, for our Wednesday tradition. Hockey Sense in the 7 o'clock hour, Sports Medicine with Dr. Vic Lehman. In the 8 o'clock hour, of course, Hockey Sense brought to you by MTC Truck Driver Training and Gateway Buick GMC. This hour brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. And also brought to you in part by Frida's in University City, who just celebrated their five-year anniversary. Congratulations, Natasha Kwan. Welcome back to the show. 5 years.
Five. It's amazing.
How has it grown over the course of the last 5 years?
Oh, my goodness. We've actually expanded the restaurant not once, not twice, but three times in the course of 5 years. We've also opened up another company called Pedal Pedal Cycling Studio right around the corner. And then in about, and I don't want to give a timeline because things happen, we're opening up another company called Stretch right next to our cycling studio, and that's going to be yoga and bar.
Wow. How about
that? Yeah, so lots and lots and lots of growth in 5 years. I can't believe I've done so much.
Yeah. Doc loves to pedal, but you pedal outside. You ever pedal indoors too?
Yeah, I pedal sometimes indoors. You know, when it's 100 degrees out, it's a lot more comfortable pedaling indoors than outdoors, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think most people that go to pedal probably like to pedal outdoors as well. But sometimes, you know, you need a quick hit, an hour, you get a great workout. So clearly you're not going to get the same intensity pedaling outdoors as you're going to get pedaling indoors in a class.
Indoor cycling, indoor, I mean, how healthy is it for you?
Oh, it's the best thing you could possibly do.
Really?
I mean, the cardio is amazing. You get good stretch, you work your glutes. And then a lot of it's how hard you work it, you know. I mean, you get out of it what you put into it. So if you really crunch and you work hard, you're going to get a crazy. Like when I go to spinning, I wear this sweatsuit thing, you know, like wrestlers losing weight. I literally end up, I feel like I'm going to drop dead. I almost feel like I'm going to fall off the bike. You see some people, you know, are looking at their phone and they're barely doing anything. Yeah, you're not going to get anything out of it. But I think at pedal, they're going to kick your butt and you're going to believe and think, this was an unbelievable workout. You want to lose weight, you want to get toned, that's the way to go.
I mean, you teach the classes too, right?
I do. I teach about five a week.
Five.
I just taught a class tonight.
What do you make out of these, like, fancy, like, bikes that they're selling now that, like, cost, like, thousands and thousands of dollars that come with, like, or you have to buy the software separate, by the way, right?
There are all kinds of bikes. There's a program like that. You can dial into live
classes. I'm forgetting the name of it.
Peloton.
Peloton. Yeah, and actually one of my students just went to a Peloton class in New York.
You buy into those things, though? Like, it's,
you know, a lot of people get them because they can't get into the class times or their schedule doesn't work with it. They're international travelers and stuff like that. The main thing is getting your cardio 100%. Just like Dr. Lehman says, you need the cardio. You want a healthy heart. You have to work your heart, you know, whatever it is. And the great thing with cycling is it's no impact or low impact. So we get a lot of people with hip replacement surgery, knee replacement. Those people that can't run anymore, those people with injury.
It's not bad on the knees at all. It's not bad?
No,
I mean,
you're going in a circle. So actually a lot of doctors, you know, after knee replacement, they say the first thing you need to do is start pedaling, start biking. And we've gotten those people. Yeah, I mean, you can't. Right after surgery, you can't just go hog wild. But you need to get that movement.
What do you think, Doc?
Well, you know, I would take it one step further. I think a lot of us ran. Like when I was in college, I played college tennis and a little professional tennis. So we went out and we ran. We did stadium steps. And then now you're 35, you're 40, and all of a sudden running isn't really everything it's cracked up to be. You know, your knees hurt, your back hurts, and you get a little swelling. So I have a lot of patients, and these are high-level athletes, people who play professional sports, and they transition into cycling because, you know, quite frankly, they can't get the same cardio because they can't run like they used to run. They can't do intervals or wind sprints or hurdles or whatever. So, you know, I'm on Natasha's side. I think that you can get unbelievable cardio on a bicycle, and you get better. I think you get better cardio in a studio because you don't have a traffic light, you don't have somebody honking trying to run you off the road, etc. So you have her telling you, keep your head up, you know, let's go, let's get up at two, come on, you're dogging it. I mean, so when the spin instructor's screaming at me, you know, I'm going to work a little bit harder. I don't want to get screamed at.
Do you scream? Do you yell? You're not a screamer.
I'm kind of like a boot camp instructor.
Are you?
I mean, we're all very, very, very different. Yeah. And Andy, your wife is an instructor too.
I know, but does she? I haven't taken her class in a long,
She's
long
hard.
Time.
Is She's she? Hard. Yeah.
Yeah, she tries to be, I think, more like motivating. You know?
Yeah, you want to be motivated, but we all have our own style. Like,
yeah.
Some people are like, "Oh, great, do hard work, find that,
yeah.
find that." That I personally couldn't take that. I need to be like, "Come on,
yeah.
get it." Get it. I want to see you hit 115 RPM, 30 seconds. Come on, come on. And that's what motivates me when I'm training with someone. And going back to the heart rate, heart rate's kind of everything. Athletes wear heart rate monitors and everything. And I always check my heart rate. I'm in the kitchen. You know, I'm also a chef, so I'm hanging out in the kitchen. And I'm not working hard, but I'm like restocking. It's about 97 degrees in my kitchen. And I just decide, I'm going to check my heart rate. 54
what
BPM.
Is that?
My resting heart rate is in the 40s. That is a good heart.
No, that's somebody
heart.
Who's really fit. That's somebody
54
who's really
is good.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's insane.
Where should you be with your heart rate?
Well, I mean, if you're under 70 or 80, you know, you have a good resting heart rate. Now, you know, if you get it's like MVO2 of 70, 80, you know, those guys are going to have low resting heart rates. And somebody who's a little bit ill is going to have a resting heart rate of 100.
How do you balance cardio with the rest of your workout? Like how important is the cardio aspect of your workout? Because some people, you know, I guess yoga is almost considered like a cardio. Now, I mean, you can sweat and whatever. You get your heart rate up a little bit, but it's not exactly cardio. People who go to the gym and lift weights, you know, you're sweating, your heart rate's getting up, you know, but it's not considered cardio. So, I mean, should cardio be a part of everyone's workout?
Well, I think every workout should have two components. One component should be, you know, just what we're talking about, cardiovascular exercise, working your heart muscle. And then the other component needs to be resistance training. And that resistance training can be one of a number of things. Now, I look at yoga kind of in a little bit of a different category in terms of stretching, biomechanics, etc., much like Pilates. And I think that's a very good component as well. But every workout needs to have a little cardio in every component. And every workout has to have a component of resistance training, and I think that is critical if you want to get fit and stay fit.
Mm-hmm. Hot yoga. I mean, your heart races in hot yoga, right?
I mean, yeah, it's hot.
You don't like that.
I did hot yoga for around 7 years.
Are you going to have that at your yoga?
It's
stretch?
A small space. If it's full, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, just I think we're going to feel like 16 people.
Well, how do they make these studios hot to begin with?
Oh, my gosh. There's so much into the electrics that go into, like, a heated room, say, Bikram studio that holds 100.
Where did that come from? Like, how did hot yoga become a thing?
Well, you know, basically what happened in Europe, they said if the hot, you know, if you have a tight back muscle or your hammy's tight, what do? You put heat on it. So the idea is you're going to get a better stretch and you're going to get a little bit better of a workout. Well, and you said it before. Why do people get hamstring injuries in the middle of the summer when it's 100 degrees out? They should get hamstring injuries, you know, when it's 40 degrees out.
Right.
Well, so that's where the principle came from. And I'm not a fan of Bikram yoga, and I'll tell you why. I can't stand the smell. The place, to me, just stinks. But in terms of – and that's personal. That's personal. But in terms of my patients, I tell them, you know, it's very logical. You get – your muscles get heated up. You get a better stretch, and you do get a very, very solid workout.
You know why it smells, by the way? It's the yoga mats more than the people or the temperature.
Yeah, but the problem is people sweat on the mats,
yes.
And then it gets hot, and then
– oh, it's gross.
And then – you can't clean those mats. It's never. You can never get the stuff out of the mats.
But you know what the new thing is, though? It's the heated workout rooms, like where you're working out in the heat.
They have heated cycling. That is so dangerous.
Really?
I'm not kidding. It's absolutely dangerous to bike indoors. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to evaporate the.
Well, and that's the same, you know.
Like biking outdoors in 100 degrees, that can't be safe, right?
Well, I think you got to hydrate and you got to moderate and you just can't go crazy. But, you know, there was a situation in a class, much like you're talking about, in Arizona where I think 5 or 6 people died and 20 people ended up in an emergency.
Oh, my God.
Was that the sweat lodge?
Yeah.
I know that's a family friend.
Really?
James Shore, the man who passed away in the sweat lodge, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell me the whole story. What happened?
It's my
Because sweat lodges
are very common out there.
Yes, and that's what it's used for.
Yeah, so several people, two or three people passed away.
Right, and then they had a bunch of others that got transported.
Yeah, it was horrible. He had three young children.
Really?
Yeah, his partner.
And he passed out from what? Just because, I mean, you're in Arizona.
It was so
hot. Yeah, from heat.
Yeah. He was, you know.
How hot can your body take, Doc? I mean, like, when it's 100 degrees outside and you're out, like right now, like my daughter, as we speak right now, is at soccer camp.
Right.
It's outside.
Right.
So she's 6 years old, and they give her, like, water breaks, I think, like, every, like, 3.5 minutes. I mean, literally, like, you know, back when I was a kid and you're playing soccer, okay, you maybe got one water break per practice, per two-hour practice, you know. You were lucky. And then, you know, they're yelling at you to stop drinking water. Water was considered bad for you, right? Don't drink too much water.
Well, that was
spit it out and don't even swallow it.
That was the big thing, you know. You were kind of weak if you had to take a water break. And then people started dying in two-a-day football practices. And they said, well, maybe we should give people.
Well, nobody wants to get sued.
No, well, and that's that's true. And there was a big lawsuit with the sweat lodge thing. But the problem is, if you're gonna be outside in 100 degree weather, I would, you know, I've given 20,000 interviews, ESPN all over the country, and basically you want to do your workout probably 7 a.m. till 10, mm-hmm. or you want to do your workout when the sun goes down and it cools off. So, quite honestly, to work out in the middle of the day at 100 degrees in my mind is insane.
So it's not unsafe to be out there right now.
Well, it depends on what you're doing.
Playing soccer.
Okay, and it's probably 80 degrees or 85 degrees, and that's safe. If it's 100 degrees right now, and I don't know what it is right now.
I bet you it's north of 90 degrees right
now. Then you should, you know, then you need a water break every 3 minutes.
Yeah, and I think they do. They do a really good job of that because, again, nobody wants to get sued and whatever. But you're right, these sweat lodges out in Arizona. I went to school out in Arizona, and they're not. It's very common. People have sweat lodges out in the middle of the woods and whatever, and it is used for meditation purposes. And you know, people go in there and they meditate and do their thing and whatever. But if you're going to die doing it, you got to be smart, right?
If you're thirsty, drink.
I mean, Arizona really is a sweat lodge, except for from where I live. I lived up in the mountains up in Flagstaff, where it, you know, like
you ski high up there,
of like
right?
yeah, you ski up yeah. there. It's like a high of 80 degrees, so it's not exactly like most parts of Arizona. I just could not ever. Live in, but I could live up in the mountains. We got to take a break, and we'll continue with Natasha Kwan from Frieda's in University City. She'll tell us more about that.